following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings and salutations. Welcome again back to Radioland. Or I guess conversely, it should be hello out there from Radioland. How's it? It was an old statement made popular, I guess, in the 30s and 40s in the golden age of radio. Hello out there in Radioland. Whatever the case may be, it was sort of the vibe of the title of this show. And I call it that, from Radioland, because quite frankly, in my mind, Radioland is where the microphones are. It would be sort of silly to think of Radioland being everybody that's out there listening, because they're tuning into Radioland to figure out, you could go on and on about that sort of an argument. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Who cares? If you really want to know, it was the egg. Think about it for a bit. Oh, you have to believe in evolution to think that. Just never mind. I know there's some of you out there that don't. I don't know. Those of you who are regular fans of this program, I think understand where I stand on certain things. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The audience of this program is very smart. Yes, indeed. You're incredibly smart. I'm not going to try and fool you for no reason at all. That's the beauty of what I like to do. There's no point in sitting here and trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes, because it goes nowhere. You know how hard it is to be a liar in today's day and age? It really is. It's tough. You really have to have to put a lot of work into it to really be a person who is prevaricating a bit. Yeah, I used a big word. Yeah, look it up. There was this thing, of course, a couple of weeks ago with the Rachel thing, Ask Rachel, the hashtag on Twitter that exploded. If you've been living under a rock and is not familiar with this sort of thing, I highly recommend you go to any social media, search the hashtag Ask Rachel, and prepare to be amused. It's an interesting story, and somewhere along the way you'll find where it all came from. But it points back to a pretty basic thing, that when somebody is lying about who they are or who they claim to be, they're going to get caught. That's just it. People, it's hard to be that asshole. It really is. If you're going to be somebody that you're not, especially put it out there that way, because people, they want to get to the bottom of things. They want to get to the truth. I mean, there are groups of people out there that accept everything for face value, and that's the way it is. But we all know now that for some strange reason, we all think that we can get away with a little bit more. We always want to be something that we're not, for whatever reason that we might find. And the thing with Rachel, this is nothing new. People have been doing what people like her have attempted to do. Been doing it forever. More recently, before Rachel, the whole thing with Jeb Bush, W's brother, who may or may not be running for president, I don't know. I think he is. He identified himself as Hispanic in his last voter registration. And then when he was called out on it, he went, oops, my bad. It was a mistake. How do you make a mistake on something like that? I don't know. And he did. For whatever case that may be, a lot of that really stems from, and this happens more frequently now, surprisingly, is that there's a group of individuals that become what are called catfish. Catfishing is a thing that is done. If you don't know what I'm talking about, too, on this, there's a series of shows. It was a television show, maybe on the web now, called Catfish, and it's about a guy. It originally started with this guy who had developed an online relationship with this woman, and he got emotionally involved in this thing, and he wound up tracking this woman down, and when he got to where she was, found out that this was not her at all. It was some other woman that was not who she pretended. It was a big deal. And catfishing is a thing. It's happened. It's happened to us at the radio station on two occasions. We've actually had people that had pretended to be something that they're not. And it's easy for us to, you know, really pay attention to people because we have to. We have to hear what they have to say. It's just, it just goes with the territory. You really have to do that. If you don't, then, you know, then you take the risk of slighting somebody. And it makes trust that much more difficult. And that's part of it. You have to be trustworthy in this world to really get around. At least in my book you do. Because there's nothing worse, I think, than being a liar. You know, I can take every asshole on the planet, but there, if you lie to me about who you are, what you're doing, I'm not going to be a very pleasant person about it. And I don't think anybody would be. And it's awful to be lied to. It really is, especially because you have invested so much of your brain power in developing either a relationship with this individual or something, and it becomes like this, what the was I thinking? Where did this happen? Where did I go wrong? And then you kind of blame yourself for doing that. And I'm not going to elaborate on who it was or anything like that, because I could tell you this, on one of the two occasions, we ruined a guy's marriage. When his wife found out what was actually going on, it got to be pretty interesting. But be that as it may, it led to the idea of why do they do this? Why do people purport to be somebody that they're not? And I guess a lot of it is that they, especially in what we do, you know, we're in the show business industry, and they feel that they can get close to us because we're approachable. And that's, you know, I can understand that. You know, you always want your, you know, the people that are somewhat famous, somebody that you've invested a lot of time in being entertained by them, you want them, since they are people, they're human beings, you want them to be, you know, you want them to like you. You want them to be your buddy. You want them to be your friend or your acquaintance. And it's awful when you find out the truth and that person can be an asshole, and then or you're stuck with that. You know, it's the way it goes. Thankfully, that doesn't happen a whole heck of a lot. But when you come at us, you know, when you come at a person who is somewhat famous, and they and you're being somebody that you're not. Well, that's just, you know, dude, that's wrong. And you should be embarrassed by that activity. What becomes embarrassing for us here at Radio Memphis is that we feel as though we may have fallen into that. You know, it's like, oh, man, there I go trusting somebody again. What the hell was I thinking? And you can't trust people. That's the bottom line. Trusting people is a problem. And we all have to kind of pick and choose our battles when it comes to that. And you have to be pretty quick to realize that whether somebody's being, you know, forthright with you or not, as the case may be. Sometimes people can be too trusting, and it's like, oh, everything everybody says is right. You know, everything everybody does is benevolent, and that's not true. It's unfortunate, but it's, you know, it's certainly not true. And in this day and age, it's really kind of hard to hide from that. Ask Rachel. She'll tell you all about that, you know, or Jeb Bush for that matter. So, you know, hey, if you're going to come at us here, if you're going to approach us, be yourselves. That's what you have to do. Just be yourself. Because you'll find that really the only difference between me and anybody else is I just have a different job, you know, and that's okay. That's quite all right. You know, I like hearing about what other people do and the things that they like. And that's great. It's fine. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Just don't lie to me. And if you're going to be an asshole, be an asshole. I mean, be a good asshole. Have some money. If you're going to be an asshole, you have to have money, I think. I think that's sort of how that works. Because it's really only the assholes that have money. It seems that way, doesn't it? You know, that, you know, all of us, we work so hard and we try and you know, be successful in our occupations, whatever it may be. And we strive to have, like, you know, hey, we're doing pretty good. Maybe we can save up enough money to, you know, take that nice trip to Japan or go to Europe or maybe we might buy a boat or you know, that kind of thing. That's what we kind of like to have. And that's wonderful. And then you got the people that just, for whatever reason, whether they're working or not, they just have a shitload of money. And with that comes this really fucked up attitude. And I think that's why I don't think I'll ever be wealthy. I mean, if you want to talk about in terms of the friends that I have and the life that I have, I consider myself to be very, very wealthy in that it's not attached to money. It's attached to happiness in that aspect. When it comes to happiness, I'd like to feel that I'm very wealthy. I have my days. Everybody does. And that's just the way that goes. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with things. There's some things that I would like to see better and different. Everybody does. You know, that's all part of it. But I don't think I could ever see myself as being a guy that's you know, reeling in some big cash. Because I don't think I don't have the mental acuity, if you will. Well, I probably do, but I don't have the propensity to be an asshole like that. Sure, I can be an asshole at times when, you know, when warranted. We all have to do that. I know somebody's, oh, hey, bro, there's no reason for you to be an asshole at all, man. You know, don't be a dick. Yeah, you can. Sometimes you have to. It has its place. You have to get your point across somehow. Because if they're not listening to you once, they're sure as shit not going to pay that much attention to you the next go around. So, yeah, sometimes you have to be a little heavy-handed. Sometimes you have to be that guy. It ain't easy, but you got to do it. But when it comes to, if you ever notice, it's the people that have a lot of money seem to be complete asses. And there's something to that, because the assholes get their money by being an asshole. That's the thing. They become incredibly wealthy by screwing people over, by stabbing people in the back. All of a sudden, if you say for example, you have a friend that is quite wealthy, right? And kind of a, like most of these people, kind of a tightwad. They don't like to spread it around. It's not none of your business. They shouldn't have to spread it around. It's your money. Do whatever the hell you want to with it. But these are the ones that, you know, when they go to a restaurant and they rack up a, you know, I don't know, $200 tab, they might tip the waiter, you know, here's your tenner, buddy. That's what they do. And they do that because they don't feel that they and that's fine. I'm not saying I'm entitled to anybody's money. I don't want it. I want to earn what is mine. And that's the same way with you, right? You work hard. You're putting in the necessary effort. You are grinding the grist the mill requires, if you will, to get that leg up and to do the things that you want to do. And I think those of us who are going to never really see fabulous wealth are not assholes, because it's the nice guys. It's us nice. Here I am saying I'm nice. You know, the opinions of this program are strictly those of the host. The point being is that if you're not being an ass, if you're being a nice guy, you probably won't make that much money. I know there's exceptions to the rule. We've talked about it before. There's exceptions to every rule. Tom Hanks is probably fabulously wealthy. He seems like a great guy, though. He just seems like a nice guy. He just seems like he's out having fun. He's living a great life. Although there happens, I know he and his wife are having some issues with their kid, but, you know, hey, whatever the case may be. Everybody's got problems. I know plenty of people that struggle to live month to month or day to day, that are very genuinely happy people. And I know a lot of people who are very successful in their industry, and they make a lot of money, and they're still very miserable. Because I do believe, even though that being an asshole can be fun, because we've all done it, it still makes you a bitter person, and it doesn't make you very fun to be around. And it's like, you look at somebody who is kind of a, I don't know, kind of an ass, but they got a shitload of money. All of the sudden, they become very popular, and they sort of buy their friends. The second the money runs out, the people are gone. That's just how it is. You know, you hear stories time and time again of people who have instantly have become fabulously wealthy by means of, like, the lottery, say, for example, and they just hit for $128 million, and they're bringing the money home, and all of the sudden the phones are ringing, man. These are people that wouldn't have given them the time of day the day before the lottery drawing. But now that hey, I know that guy. He won the lottery. Oh, I need to get close to him. He might give me some money. Look, it's not your money in the first place. It's not even his. He didn't do anything to earn it. He bought a ticket and got lucky. That's the bottom line. But even if he did earn it, what if he did? Let's say he created some, you know, he created something. He had an invention, something that he built, and it took over the world, and he's made a shit pile of money out of it. You're not entitled to a penny of that. You shouldn't have to sit there as somebody who has made this money and listen to, and that's probably another reason why they're assholes, is that there's people that will be coming around going, hey, bro, can I have like 20 grand to hold till payday? You know, that kind of thing. Hey, help me out. Can you help me with my project? My sister needs a kidney. Hey, I need this. No, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works at all. So, you know, you do what you do and try not to be an asshole about it. So that's why I think that, you know, those of us that are not really true assholes will never really get to enjoy that wealth. And I bring all this up because, you know, the state of California is a prime example. There's a lot of assholes out there. There's a lot of money out there. And one thing that they don't have out there is water. And this is a problem. This is a big drought issue that's going on over there. And the people that live out in California that are like the real rich people, the wealthiest of these people, they don't think the rules apply to them. There's all these restrictions on water consumption. Rich people are saying, look, we pay higher property taxes and are therefore we're entitled to more water, and poor people are just going to have to suck it up. Yeah, that's, you know, we're rich. We can do what we want. And it's silly. Here's a quote from, where am I looking at this? The Washington Post. In a place where the median income is $189,000, where PGA legend Phil Mickelson once requested a separate water meter for his chipping greens, where financier Ralph Whitworth last month paid the Rolling Stones $2 million to play at a local bar, the fine at $100 was less than intimidating. It's an issue. It's no longer you can only water on these days. It's now more of, you know, this is the amount of water you get within this billing period. And if you don't, if you go over that, you're going to get cut off. That's what they should do. But all the rich people are going, no, wait a minute. This doesn't apply to me because I pay my taxes. I have the money. I don't get it. You know? and this is the mentality. We've all seen it. All right. Donald Trump is probably one of the most famous assholes with money. And the beautiful thing about Trump, whether you like him or not, personally, I don't particularly care for the man. I think he's false for the most part. I think most of what he does is a bit of a put on, and I think he's also a bit of a coward, if you want to break it down. But here's the thing. He has balls. I give him that. He's got gigantic testicles, because here's a man who has successfully over his career, over his life, has managed to use bankruptcy as a financial planning tool. Yeah. He's done it. A couple of times. He's filed for bankruptcy a couple of times, and he's still one of the wealthiest people out there because he knows how to make money. He knows how to do it. And he knows how to make money by being an asshole. And that's how you make money. That's how you keep it. You know, a friend of mine once told me, he said, you know, any asshole can make money. It's the real genius that knows how to keep from spending it or keep from losing it. We've all had those dreams. We've gone down to the Quickie Mart and we've bought our lottery ticket. We've paid, you know, a couple of bucks. We got our numbers. You know, you put the ticket someplace safe because it's potentially worth a shitload of money. Potentially worth. It's not worth that right now. It's not even worth the $2 you paid for it, but that's really about it. But before the drawing, it's potentially worth a lot of money. And you sit there and you're sitting in your chair and you're looking at this ticket and you're thinking those two words that pop in. And we've talked about this. What if? What if it does happen? What do you do? And, you know, everybody has their plans and, you know, we've done it. I don't play the lottery that much. Every once in a while, it just seems like kind of the fun thing to do. Because what I'm buying, this is the way I think about it. When I'm buying the ticket, if I spend $1, $2, whatever, $5 in lottery tickets, whatever the case may be, the idea is that I'm not, obviously I'm hoping I'd win as anybody else, but you never know. It's like what a one in a trillion chance of hitting the damn thing. What you're buying is a few moments of that thought of what if? What if this does happen? What would we do? Where would we go? How would we spend this? What would we save? What would we buy? Would we keep our jobs? Would we do this? You know, that's what you're doing, and you're playing, and it's a fun game to play. It's an absolutely beautiful game to play. And then at 10 o'clock when the drawing happens, the next thing you know, the thing's a bookmark. All right, it's in the garbage. Or hey, you may not have hit all the numbers, but you may have hit a few. You know, hey, I won $20. Woohoo! Right on. That's a reasonable amount of money I would expect to win in something like that, in a $2 bet. Maybe about $20. It'd be like your long shot horse coming in for the win. So, yes. Not so bad. But that's not a life-changing amount of money. But there on the cons, you know, just flip the coin over here, pardon the pun. Flip the coin over and take a look at the other side. You work your balls off. You become something different. You have given the world something they have never had before, something they've never seen before, something they've never heard before, and all of a sudden you become wealthy as a result of it. That happens, okay? That's part of stardom, really, or it's part of being an innovator. And you make that money. You've earned it at that point. Now it's different because money that is earned is yours. Legitimately, when you win the lottery, it's not so much. It's like, oh, I got lucky. But that's not true. Wealth is never something that is achieved by just sitting on your ass. Everybody knows that. I mean, if you have a shitload of money and you've done nothing for it, that's not really a good thing. I don't know. You know, like I said, we're all just, you know, playing for that dream when it comes to that. But when you leverage your life against it and you work hard and you do something. And all of a sudden, it comes with a couple of bucks. And I'm talking some serious life-changing money. And it's a little bit different. And I just hope, I just hope and pray that if that ever happens to me, for whatever reason it might come around, if it happens and I get lucky, not in the lottery, but in my industry, and I start making some money, I hope and I pray that I do not turn into that guy. Which by my logic already has just doomed me to rice and beans for the rest of my days, I guess. I don't know. It comes, it goes. We somehow manage to pay the bills. It's an existence. We're all living it. But it's fun to dream, isn't it? That's kind of the groovy thing. I pay more taxes than you. I should use more. No, it doesn't work that way. That's why I'm all for the abolishment of the 1040 income tax return form thing. Income tax in general, I think, is really kind of silly. There's conspiracy theorists out. They've been howling at the masses about it for years. And there's a legal way to not have to pay your taxes. Just claim zero all the way. They don't do that, man. The IRS is smart. They're all filled with liars and cheats and thieves anyway. They're a step ahead of you, man. They can, that's what they do. That's their job. They're the collection agency for the country. So, you know, they're going to make it really complicated because by having it complicated this way, they know that they don't have to pay so much. That's why rich people don't pay so much in taxes. They find ways to get around it. But that's why I'm all for more of a blanket, you know, a consumption tax. Let's put a tax on that. You know, every time you buy something, a percentage of that goes to the federal government. So if you're getting paid $10 an hour to do whatever job that you're doing, you're bringing home $10 an hour. But you got to do something with that money. You got to go spend it. You got to go buy stuff. You got to buy socks. So when you buy socks, you know what? 7, 8, 9%, something like that, maybe 10% goes to the man. Well, it's not fair to the poor. It raises the buy cheaper socks. You know? You buy, hell, I'd say put it across just about everything except maybe like the bare necessities. I would say like food, but Maybe only some foods. You know. And like, you know, if you're gonna buy like, I don't know, bread, you don't necessarily want to tax that. Especially if you're buying like flour, you don't want to tax that either. But, you know, or like I don't know, beer. Don't I wish beer was tax free, but that's just it. If I can't afford to buy beer, then I really shouldn't pay the tax. Because, yeah, it's going to drive the prices up. But, look, you're bringing more money home. Now, if you're making enough money to go out and go buy you a nice car, I would think that 10% of that should go to the government. That pays for the services that we need. Well, why do we have to have taxes at all? Because we have to have certain things. Now, whether the government knows how to spend that money or not is that's the argument for the ages, and that's between you and the polling station or who's running for office. Take it up with them. They work for you, by the way. It's not the other way around, although it seems that way at times. But no, I think a consumption tax is probably a pretty good idea. But that's where all the assholes will start stepping up. Well, you know, I make a lot of money, and I have to pay you're paying your fair 10% like everybody else is. That's just it. If you don't want to spend that, if you don't feel that particular item shouldn't be taxed, then don't buy it. It's a freedom type thing. I get it. The bare necessities should be tax free. You know, things like your foods. Your prepared foods, yeah, tax the crap out of it. But, you know, stuff that you can cook yourself that should entice you to, you know, like you go buy some fresh vegetables, you shouldn't be taxed on that. You know, you shouldn't. That's my personal opinion. But if you're going to go buy a thing of Hungry Man dinner, yeah, you're going to pay a tax on that. Learn to cook. Learn to, you know, if you're poor, you learn to do that kind of stuff. It's not pleasant, I know. Trust me, I know. But if you're making some money, I would say every time you spend it, you know, and you're buying your stuff, you buy a plane ticket to go on vacation, you should be putting some of that money, 10% of that should go to the man. I know it doesn't seem very popular, but I tell you what, it's a far fairer system and a far better system than this 1040 crap we have right now.
Well, it's not fair to the poor people.
It can be. It can be indeed. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're not spending it, it's not going to do you any good. That's the whole point. That's why the assholes, you think about it, you know, it's like, man, this guy's making all this money, he won't spend any of it. He's a tightwad. You would expect he would come into my store and buy something. That's why he came in the first place. And what's he going to do, take it with him when he's gone? You know, maybe that's what happens in the afterlife. Maybe that's what it is. You know, you become such a tightwad. Don't even give it to charity for that matter. You don't, you know, don't do something that benefits mankind. You don't have to, like, you know, it's not like you're giving away, you know, a $100 bill to the guy laying on the sidewalk. I mean, you build a homeless shelter or something like that. That's charity. But if you don't do that, you say, I'm not going to spend any of this. I'm a tightwad. You know what? Fuck you. It's my money. Well, fine. That's what it is. That's how you want to live and be a bitter, hated person. That's great. Perhaps in the afterlife, you'll be in a room completely surrounded by money, and then outside that room is an entire world where everything is free. That could be what. What do you mean, your money's no good here? This is what you worked for. I saw a dollar bill, and written on it in a Sharpie was, "This piece of paper controls your life." Yeah, and a pile of assholes that hold all those pieces of paper are the ones that are driving the bus. Isn't that funny? Isn't that sad? It's funny and sad at the same time. It's fucked up is what it is, but that's the world we live in. We live in a society where we have to have that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's called motivation. You should get off your ass if you don't like the situation and change it. You can do that. You have that ability. You have the ability to go out and really bust your balls and work your ass off and really make something happen. And that way, you could turn around and be that asshole too. Or not. That would be something. I don't know. Go out there and make a bunch of money and then be a really nice person. Is that even possible?
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Owls are the thing. And they're all over the place. And people are like, oh, I want one. They want an owl until they realize that when they eat a mouse, which is what they eat mice. When an owl eats the mouse, he eats it whole. And then later, he barfs up the bones. Oh, they're all cute and all until they do something as horrific as that. When you start blaming a victim as a result of shoring up your beliefs in guns and gun control, You can't look at a woman who has been raped and say, did you put yourself in this position? They pass the laws that are given to them by corporations that are backing the various guys in Congress that are the ones responsible for writing the laws in the first place. Therefore, there is no two-party system. There is no three-party system or nine-party system or 20-party system. There's only one party that runs this country. It's called money.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
All right, check it out. Thank you again for being a fan of the podcast here, the show. Appreciate it. We're reaching into, I don't know, everybody's heads all over, all across the U.S. We thank you again so much, and all around the world too. I noticed that there's been a lot of listeners in France. Hey, how's it going, fellas? I would speak some French to you, but I'm not going to because I don't know any French. Oh, you should learn French. Why? I've been there. That's just kind of an ignorant thing, isn't it? You know, you should learn my language when you come here. I don't know. This is, when we came here to this country, we sure as shit didn't learn any Navajo. So, you know, that's kind of a hard argument to have. Man, these Mexicans need to speak English, man. They're working on it, trust me. They are paying close attention. That's why I think we need to have an international language. I know there's one out there. There's a couple of them out there. We should all make a point of learning it, because in that way we'd all be on even ground here. You wouldn't have one guy at the disadvantage of another. Think about it for a minute. What if I'm having a conversation with a man from China over some business? Oh, why would you want to have that conversation? Because it's going to be happening sooner than you think. Because the Chinese government owns so much of this country, it might behoove you to have a little knowledge, right? But at the same time, though, if both of us, if me and the guy from China, speak a third language that we're on equal footing with, neither one of us have any advantage or disadvantage over the other. Because let me tell you something, the Chinese language is incredibly difficult. And I tell you something else, the English language is incredibly difficult. It's a tough language to learn. It's a tough language to master.
Man, I speak it fluently.
Yeah, you've also been working on it for 50 fucking years, too, and most of y'all still can't get that right. Yeah, maybe we should all learn Esperanto. Actually, I've been studying a little bit of it. It's a fascinating language. It really is. It's beautiful. Wow, you hippie. I hate that, man. People go crazy about that kind of thing. Not learning anything but English. That's the official language of the world. It's the international language. We should all have to learn that. You know, it's funny. The French people think the same fucking thing about their language. Now we're at an impasse. What are you going to do then, right? Maybe someday I'll offer this in a foreign language. that'd be big.
You know, Rick, I used to listen to your podcast, man, but ever since you started speaking that Spanish language or that Esperanto, whatever else you called it, man, I couldn't listen to it, and I think it's brutal, man. You're just turning into one of them hippies, and it's just not...
Shut up. Yeah. It's the way it goes here at the end of the old show. All right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. In the meanwhile, thank you so very much for being a part of this. You can find us in a whole bunch of places, including Podbean, Stitcher.com, Player.fm. I've been put into Pocket Casts. Yes, that's a new thing for you kids out there. It works on Apple and Android. It's apparently a really groovy little podcast subscribing service. If you don't know about it, search Pocket Casts. It's two words, and you'll find it. And just search for From Radioland. Search my name. You'll get it there. And listen, I got something else new for you guys. If you'd like to drop me a line specifically to this show, it's something that'll go directly to the folder for this, and among a couple of other on air things. If you want to drop me a line, it's real simple. Rick@radio-memphis.com. Rick without a K. RIC@radio-memphis.com. Drop me a line, say hello, and we can go from there. Perhaps you're interested in booking this show into your room, which we're about to do here at some point. Not anytime soon, but it's coming. I've had some equipment issues.
Got a computer that bit the dust.
My laptop died. Gotta get a new one. But anyway, drop me a line. Maybe we can do something, huh? Got any comments about the show? You can certainly put that there. Maybe we'll do a little segment. Maybe I'll read an email from the masses. Then again, maybe not. In the meantime, you can always find me at radio-memphis.com Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time here in the United States. And on Sundays from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. with the Booze and Blues Show with Jeff Janovitz. The morning show, by the way, our good friend Kate Lucas. I'm going to try and book her onto the show here, and we'll have some fun with her. How about that? You'd love her. She's great. She's a funny lady. Yeah, find her at radio-memphis.com. There you go. That's it for this edition. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Jutter, and this has been From Radio Land.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.